This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading for today will be found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. And when Christ came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And all the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this hour to which you have brought us, thy great grace that has rested upon us, and thy love which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Oh, take thy word home, we pray, to each and every heart at this time. And Lord, give us eyes to see with and ears to hear with. And may thy precious name be glorified and lifted up. And thou wilt draw many unto thyself. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound, and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground, we're marching through Emmanuel's ground, to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion.
marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We truly appreciate hearing from you and to know of the work of our blessed Lord in your hearts. Write us if we can help you. Let us know how God is dealing with you in these hours. And we do trust the blessings of our gracious Lord to rest upon you. We're praying for you, praying that God will work in each and every heart. We want you to write us this next week. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And when you write, ask for your free book that we're giving away this month entitled The Art of Man Fishing by Thomas Boston, a clear and vigorous challenge to every one of our hearts to remain persistent in sharing the gospel with the unsaved. You'll want a copy of this book, and we'll send it to you free and postpaid if you will rate us. And now for God's message. Today we will continue our messages on the general theme, the true Israel of God, which we've been bringing to you for the past 5 weeks. I want you to listen specifically to this one today as we begin to apply the promises of the Bible to the true Israel of God. This blessed truth of the rule and reign of Christ in the hearts of His people now, as King over His kingdom, is to me one of the most blessed truths of God's Word. You see, within this great doctrine or teaching, there is unfolded to us the eternal purpose of God, that according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the fullness of time He would gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, and that God would put all things under His feet and give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. It was God's purpose from eternity that Christ would have a kingdom. He would be king over this kingdom, and this kingdom would be a spiritual kingdom. As this great truth of the present rule and reign of Christ over His kingdom and His people, the true Israel of God, unfolds, we are made to praise the Lord that God's chosen people on earth today are one in Him, heirs with Him, members of His body. In fact, we are married to Him and are made partakers of His kingdom with Him, for according to Romans 5:17, we reign with Christ even now. And the inhabitants of this kingdom, I want you to listen to me now, the inhabitants of this kingdom, which we have termed in all of our messages the true Israel of God, they are not looking for a physical kingdom of pomp and splendor, which lasts only for 1,000 years, but are like their spiritual father Abraham, looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And like Abraham, they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a people, according to Hebrews 11:10-16. This should tell us something, that when we get to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that faith chapter, we are not told that by faith Abraham was looking for a kingdom down here or a country down here, but he was looking for a better, and that was a heavenly, where God has prepared for him and all of his spiritual seed a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Therefore, I would believe it'd be in order for us today to look at the expressions used in the New Testament, which indeed are gathered from the prophets of the Old Testament, as to how the true Israel of God, the children of the kingdom of God, are described. Remember now, These descriptions apply to those who make up the kingdom of God now, and not in a so-called kingdom of 1,000 years here upon this earth, somewhere in the future. Remember again what we have showed to you very plainly in our past messages, and it is this, that the New Testament teaches that the church, the body of born-again believers, the true Israel of God, is the true and only heirs to the Old Testament promises. It teaches, that is, the New Testament does, that the church alone fits the description of the chosen people referred to in the Old Testament, and that the true Israel alone is God's special instrument, because they are the church, for consummating His eternal purpose, and that in the sight of God, there is no longer any difference between Israel after the flesh, or the Jewish nation, and all the other nations of the world. Are you listening? The description given in the Old Testament of the true Israel of God, that is the church, the spiritual kingdom of God, are applied by the dispensationalist and the premillennialist to the physical nation of Israel in a so-called golden age upon this earth, when Christ is supposed to rule and reign 1,000 years with His throne in Jerusalem. But dear friend, the New Testament writers know nothing of this modern-day teaching of the dispensationalist. The New Testament knows nothing of such a teaching, because they apply these scriptures, which describe the true Israel of God, to the church of the living God, and to every believer who makes up that church, which is the body of Christ, or, as we've showed you in these messages, the kingdom of God and His Christ, according to Ephesians 5:5. I want you to listen now. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the names by which the true Israel would be called. In Isaiah 60:14, he said, "They shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." In Hebrews 12:22, this description is given of the true Israel of God in these words, talking about born-again believers, "You are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." So this prophecy in Isaiah 60:14 is applied not to physical Israel in some golden age upon this church, but is applied to the church of the living God, who is made up of the members of the body of Christ, who is the true Israel of God. Again, in Isaiah 61:3, the true Israel of God is called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. This expression follows Isaiah 61:1-2, where we read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn," watch it now, "and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified." Now, these scriptures tell us of our Lord's ministry while here on earth, which He Himself confirms in Luke 4:18-19, which we read you for our Bible reading at the beginning of this broadcast. You see, all believers, the true Israel of God, are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, because they are the trees of righteousness, because they, as the trees of righteousness, bring forth good fruit, according to Matthew 7:17. And they, as the trees of righteousness, are planted by the Heavenly Father, Matthew 15:13. And again, they, as the trees of righteousness, are not cut down by the acts of God's wrath, according to the words of John Baptist in Matthew 3:16. Isn't it blessed how these verses apply to the true spiritual Israel of God. Then again, Isaiah 61:6, we read of the true Israel of God that they shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And we find this applied to all believers, the true Israel of God, by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 in these words, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Isn't it very eye-opening that Brother Peter does not apply this to the Jew? And neither did he apply anything to the Jews as a physical nation in Acts chapter 2 in his message on the day of Pentecost, except that the judgment of God rested upon all unbelievers, both Jew and Gentile. Again, we read in Isaiah 62:4, "Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah," meaning the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. In Matthew 3:17, we hear the Heavenly Father saying that He was well pleased with His beloved, the Lord Jesus, and delighted in Him. So is He also pleased and delighted with His children, the true Israel who have been accepted in Christ the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6, and married to Him, Ephesians 5. Well, you see, Christ is the bridegroom, and His people is the church, those whom He has bought with the price of His own precious blood. And dearly beloved, they are married to Him, and in them He finds His delight. And He does. He finds His delight in His bride, His church, His believers. Again, in Isaiah 62:12, we read, "They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." You ask, how does the New Testament writers show that these names belong to the present spiritual Israel of God? Listen, 2 Timothy 1:9 says we were called with an holy calling. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Luke 19:10 says that we were sought out by the Holy Spirit when we were lost in sin. And Ephesians 2:1-3 tells us that the same Holy Spirit quickened us and made us alive unto God in Christ. And Ephesians 1:4 tells us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before God. That's precious to me, and I praise the Lord for it. Let us go further. From the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament, we can also piece together a description of these men and women, young people, boys and girls, saved by the grace of God in Christ, who would be the true Israel of God. Listen, they would have everlasting joy upon their heads. Watch as we start from the head and go to the feet. They would have everlasting joy upon their heads. Isaiah 51:11. Their eyes and ears would be open to the things of the Lord, and their tongues would sing His praise, according to Isaiah 35:5-6. Their voice would be the voice of joy and gladness, Jeremiah 33:11. The word of the Lord would be in their mouth, Isaiah 51:16. The law of the Lord would be written in their hearts, Jeremiah 31:33. Even their bones would flourish like an herb, according to Isaiah 66:14, and their feet would be beautiful upon the mountains as they brought glad tidings of great joy, according to Isaiah 52:7. All of these scriptures can be traced out to their fulfillment in the spiritual Israel of God as recorded in the New Testament. For this is exactly what our God does when He saves us from sin. Listen, "All things pass away. Behold, all things become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. Christ gives us of His joy to the full. John 16:24. We speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. We rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. With our mouth we offer the praises of sacrifices of praise to God, giving thanks to His name. Hebrews 13:15. Surely God's law is written upon our hearts, as we are told in Hebrews 8:10. And we say with Brother Paul that we delight in the law of God after the inward man, Romans 7:21. And out of our inward parts flow rivers of living water, John 7:38. As we walk in the pathway of righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. Romans 10 tells us that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of great joy. Are you beginning to see, dear friend, that the Old Testament and the New Testament agree that it is God's spiritual Israel in Christ to whom these things are spoken? Israel after the flesh in unbelief cannot claim these precious promises and these gracious truths, but only those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. Because God is not the author of confusion. According to 1 Corinthians 14:33, then we may be sure He did not inspire the New Testament writers to describe the church in the above terms, unless such terms, after Calvary, referred only to the church. Listen to me now. You see, only one body of people, either the nation of Israel or the church, but not both, can be the children of the promise, the children of Abraham, the elect of God, the circumcision, the true circumcision, the heirs of the kingdom, and the people of God. Let us go further. Isaiah also prophesied that Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the earth with fruit, according to Isaiah 27:6. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. In the wilderness shall water break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water, according to Isaiah 35. The prophet also promised that the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody shall be there, according to Isaiah 51:3. And all of this is fulfilled when God saves us. He makes us to bring forth fruit. He makes the desert cold heart to blossom like a rose. He calls us to sing in the wilderness and to rejoice in all that God's done for us. But then further, and the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, according to Isaiah 11:6. Is this for some call, the so-called millennium of 1,000 years, upon this earth which God has cursed? Oh no! This is a description of the true Israel of God, when by the Holy Spirit the poor sinner, under conviction, is made to lay down his arms of rebellion, hoist the white flag of surrender, and lay at the feet of God in true repentance, taking the blame for his sinful condition and pleading guilty at the bar of God's justice. What a picture of that same sinner, now forgiven, now washed in the blood of the Lamb, now cleansed and made whole, with his rebellious heart broken, a little child in obedience. Look at him now. A little child in obedience, resting by faith in Christ. What a picture of the soul saved by the grace of God, with a new nature and a new heart, praising God for all His mercies. Surely, the wolf of his depraved nature is made to dwell with the lamb nature that God gives him. Surely his leopard nature is made to lie down with the kid nature that he has received from the living God. And surely by God's grace, his desert heart that was cold and rebellious and proud and unbelieving now rejoices and blossoms as he brings forth fruit into God and rejoices in God his Savior. Isn't that blessed? That rejoices my soul. All of this could not be said of physical Israel after the flesh, because they are full of unbelief and still cry today we will not have this man to rule over us. They still hate the precious name of Jesus, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. No, dear friend, this all applies to the spiritual Israel, made up of repenting and believing Jews and Gentiles. Yes, unto them in whose hearts the Spirit of the living God has worked and thus prepared them for the entrance of the King into their hearts. This is what he's talking about. And then, of course, this applies to that eternal kingdom which God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we close this message, let us just briefly look at more of the names given to the true Israel of God by the New Testament writers and see how many of them are fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. In Romans 8:16, we are called the children of God. In Ephesians 2:19, the household of God. In Galatians 3:7, the children of Abraham. And in Galatians 3:29, Abraham's seed. In Romans 9:8, we are called the children of the promise. Why? Because those who are after the fleshly children of Abraham, they're not counted for the seed. Who is? The heirs of promise. The children of the promise. And in Galatians 3:29, we are called the heirs according to the promise. We could show you again that we are called the elect of God, the heirs of God, the temple of God, the true circumcision of God, because we've been circumcised in our hearts. And again in Galatians 6:16, we're called the Israel of God. We could go further in James 2:5, and we are spoken of as heirs of the kingdom. In John 1:12, the sons of God. In Revelation 1:6, kings and priests unto God. In Revelation 3:12, we are spoken of as the New Jerusalem. And in Revelation 21:2, the Holy City. And as we read to you 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. If the Word of God says that believers in Christ are all these things just mentioned, then we should praise Him, that we are spiritual Israel. Surely, since the New Testament teaches us nothing about a future kingdom of Christ here upon earth, and since the Scriptures are plain that the promises of the Old Testament apply to this present time, and the New Testament always gives the spiritual meaning of these promises, then we can safely say that the chosen people of God are His blood-bought ones, and not one little nation in the Near East who lives in darkness and unbelief. I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see these great spiritual truths, so we can then rejoice in Christ and live for Him now as His chosen people. Oh, we thank you for listening. May the blessings of our gracious Lord rest upon you. Rate us. Our address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.